tape recorder is on. Okay, gentlemen, we are on Gimel Amud Aleph, a little more than halfway down the page. We're on the words Toldos Deshein Maihi. Okay. The Toldos of Shein, what are they? It's probably going to be 3A, 2 or 3. Okay, somebody have the place?
Yeah, 2.
It's either 2 or 3. You know what? Why am I can find it just as well on my thing here. Here. There you go. Come on. It's been slow. Which one do I get the Gemara here? I'm a Marvishila Sua Regel, Hasakan Regel. Okay, what are the subcategories of Shein? So this is 3, okay. It doesn't help when I use the computer, doesn't say 3A what, because it just goes across.
That's okay. We got it anyway.
It says here, having established the sources for the primary causes of Shein and Regel, Warren identifies the subcategories of these cases. Okay, it's by, in the Gemara, it's where there's two dots. You see there's two dots?
Yeah, yeah.
On the second word, told us to Shein?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it?
We got it.
Okay. Okay, soon everybody should have one of these, and you just follow along. We'll have them. Everyone, if you want, by next week, you'll have access to one of these. Now, if you want to be able to follow the Gemara, you have to download the whole Gemara for $13. You'll have that volume is here for $13.
Not bad.
And that way you have the Gemara, and you can follow it here.
Yeah.
It goes a lot easier. It goes a lot easier. Okay, anyway, that'll be your choices. There'll be lots of Torah options very soon. Okay, so the question, now that we have proven that Shein and Regel are ovos, we brought the biblical sources for them, we proved why we needed both the words there, Shilach and Mavir, and Bier, to prove Shein and Regel, consumption with the mouth and trampling. We explained that by the way the pasuk is written, it doesn't matter if the animal goes by itself or it's sent by the owner. It doesn't matter if the object that's damaged is partially or totally destroyed or consumed. Now we come to sugya number 5, which is, what are the toldos? The central issue of sugya number 5 is, what are the toldos of Shein? And do they have the same laws as the Av of Shein? Because that's the whole thing we're looking for. Rav Papa said, some of the toldos are like the Avos, some of the toldos are not like the Avos. So therefore, we're trying to determine what are they. So first you have to know what the toldos are. Remember, what's the definition of a tolda, gentlemen? It's what?
It's not written in the Torah.
It's not written in the Torah. Damage is not written in the Torah. Torah only writes some of them. Those are the avos. The ones that are not written are the toldos. So Gomorrah now asks, toldos de Shein mai hi. What are the toldos of Shein? So Gomorrah says there are two of them. Niskachacha bakosa lahanosa. If the animal scratches itself on a wall for its own pleasure, and when it scratches itself on a wall, it's a little clumsy, a little bulky, and it knocks the wall down. Okay? Knocks the wall down. That's a tolda of Shein, of consuming. Second one, vitinfa peras lahanasa. And it dirties up fruit through its own pleasure. And the rabbis give two definitions. One says, let's say the animal wanted to have a little pleasure. He wanted to roll around in the tomato patch. Gave him a lot of pleasure. You see, some 3-year-olds love to just roll around all the house, right? right? And it gets a pleasure, the feeling of squishing tomatoes on its body. It's a great pleasure for it, right? Or it excretes. Excreting on it is also a great pleasure. We make a bracha for it, right? Animals don't. But either way, it's damaging crops, fruit, by having pleasure by rolling or dumping, as it were, onto it. So that's the toldos. So now the unspoken question of information. That's point number two. So the answer is these two things. Point number three. So the question of information. Could Rav Papa's statement that some of the toldos are unlike the others, could it be referring to these? Could it be referring to these? So point four, the conclusive answer is no. Gemara says, Maishna Shane, what's the difference of Shane when an animal eats with its mouth? What do we have? There's three qualities of that. Why does the Torah say have to pay when an animal consumes? Number one, the yesh hanah lazeka. Number one, the damager gets pleasure. The animal gets pleasure. Number one. Umamoncha, and it's your property. It's your cow. Ushmiras alecha, and it's your job to watch it. That's what makes unique this av of shame. It's yours, it damages, you gotta watch it, and the damage is it gets pleasure. It damages through its pleasure. So let's look at these two cases. Scratch against the wall. As much as you may have thought it might have been more connected to maybe Karen, a horn, no. Because it wasn't intending to damage, it just wants to scratch itself. Now, whenever you scratch yourself, guys, why do you scratch yourself? It gives you pleasure. You have an itch. And why are you scratching? Because it feels better when I scratch.
What's scratching got to do with consuming?
Because the common denominator, the animal is doing its action because it wants to derive its own physical benefit. It is not intending to damage, and it's also not a common damage as trampling is. So therefore, it's focused. So now we see this av is telling us any damage that gives the animal pleasure. It came out because the animal was looking for its pleasure, and thereby it damaged. So, eating is the av. The Torah writes, eating. That is the av. That's when the Torah writes. That is the most obvious pleasure. Right? Now, the toldos, the Torah doesn't write every example, but if it scratches itself on the wall to give itself the pleasure of the not feeling itchy, and it breaks the wall in the process of having its pleasure, or it wants to roll or dump onto the fruits because that gives it pleasure, but it destroys in this process. So the same thing, haninami, these two toldos, yesh hanah lazikan, there's a pleasure for the one who damages, umamoncha, and it's the owner's property, ushmiras analecha, and its need to watch is upon him as well. So why would the law be different? And therefore, we have to resolve, the resolution is, the toldos of shame are when the animal scratched itself on a wall for pleasure or a dirty fruit by rolling on it or excreting on it for pleasure. And point number two, the toldos have the same law as the av of shame. Easy, simple, sugya number five.
Question on those?
Sure.
So you know that, I think it's what's the one with the chicken and the secretion?
Secretion, well, when you cut a chicken's head off?
Right,
that's for Hilchah Shabbos to save your chayv.
But I guess I'm saying that when it eats it, there's no other outcome. It's going to be consumed. But when it goes to scratch, he may or may not knock down the wall.
That's okay.
So.
But if it does,
it's a little different than eating because.
But what the bottom?
If he squishes the fruit, it's gone. But if he excretes on the fruit, they'll probably just wash it off.
Well, no, to the point where people aren't going to.
No one's going to
the point where it's damp. Well, it could be. First of all, it could excrete on it, and then it could squish it. You know.
Yeah. So I'm saying, if the fruit is still usable afterwards.
Okay. Obviously, then you didn't damage it.
Yeah.
We're speaking where you damaged it. You damaged it. The bottom line is, we're not interested when it scratches the wall, nothing happens. No. Then there's no problem. We're only interested when there's a problem. So what if let's say your animal scratched on a wall and broke it down. Now I come to you. By what right can I claim damages from you? Because, you know what? The Torah says that when an animal damages something directly because of its wanting to have pleasure, you're chayiv when it consumes it. So therefore, you are now obliged to pay for that as well. I know. Remember, a tolda isn't the exact identical replication. We could on every one of these toldos. We talk about pushing. Pushing is not goring. It's always going to be a little bit. There's a common denominator. The common denominator here. The common denominator is my wall went down. Why? We're talking about now at the point of wanting to collect. Where does the Torah give me the right to collect damages for my wall that fell down?
Has to be physical damage.
What do you want? It's an accident. You know, the animal did it. What do you? It's a dumb animal. So we say no. The Torah already tells us if an animal eats food, you got to pay. What's the principle of that? The principle is if the animal damages in the process of it having pleasure, you have to pay. Now that I know that, any other scenario will be a told of that. So even though, yeah, it didn't have to fall, but in this case, it did fall. The bottom line is, I'm out $100 of a wall. Who's going to pay? Well, I said, well, you know, we're going to say, my animal scratched. It wasn't for sure going to fall. Okay, it wasn't for sure going to fall, but it did. Since it did, I've been damaged. So you got to pay.
So it doesn't matter if your wall was too weak to withstand a normal.
That's not the point.
You know, well, listen, you'd pay only what it was worth. In other words, you have a wall that's a $1,000 wall and a $50 wall. You know, 50, if it's going to go down soon,
yeah,
then
you're saying, what if the fault was really okay. It was so frail.
Okay, then we'll have to look at other. Then we have to look at. You have to learn another mesecta. You have to learn another mesecta for that.
But that's damage. Okay. It's been damaged.
So whatever the rabbis will assess, what was the damage? Certainly, what if the rabbis say, you know, your wall is a dangerous wall. We give you 3 days to pull it down. And guy's waiting and waiting, waiting, and then an animal scratched and fell down. Then eventually he wouldn't pay at all because of resentment. But we're talking about a common damage. Okay. Next, sugya number six. Sugya number six is going to be the next issue is, what are the toldos of regel? Because we have to now go to regel. And do they have the same laws as the av of regel? Okay, if you'd like, we'll do the Rashi. Ooh, it's better if I do the Rashi with you at 10-2. Okay? Because you're the one who likes to do Rashi.
But everybody else can learn.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll do it at 10-2. I'll stop exactly at 10-2, and we'll do all the Rashi's. Okay? That's a compromise. Okay. So now, toldos de regel mahi. What are the toldos of regel, of trampling? That's point number one. Question of information. What are the toldos of regel? We're almost at the point now we can cut and paste from the previous sugya and just put it on there and just change a word.
That's right.
So really what you could do is cut and paste all four steps, Martin, put them down, and just make a few changes. That's what I did, and it'll make it a little faster for you. But it's the same flow exactly. More answers. Well, this is what it is. Hezika begufa, if it damages with its body, derech hilucha, while it's walking. For example, bishara, with its hair. Let's say, while it was walking, its hair got entangled with an item. You know, when it's walking by, let's say there was this pot, whatever, the handle, and its hair, you know, latched on to the pot, and now it's dragging the pot on the ground till it breaks. Okay? Or, derchilucha, also while it's walking, obishlif shaleho. Or with its saddlebag that's on it, or biprumbia, or with its bit in its mouth, shibapi in its mouth, or bezuk shibavara, or the bell that's around its neck. In other words, any type of damage, while the animal is walking, that anything that's attached to the animal, its hair, its body, saddlebag, anything, where it's not the feet that squished the tomatoes, but rather, it was a saddlebag, and as it was walking by, the saddlebag was walking past a marketplace, and was walking by a stall, and the saddlebag knocked off these precious glasses, and they crashed to the ground. Right? Or, it was walking by, and its cowbell was shaking its, you know, its bell was going back and forth while it was walking, and it just, boom, banged into the glasses and broke them. Or it's just walking, and it walks, and the body sways back and forth, and the body just bumped into something. That's as opposed to pushing, where the animal is intentionally wanting to push against something. Here, it's walking. In other words, animals and many teenagers lack body awareness. Okay? And they just walk, and they don't care where, they don't look where they're walking, and they don't care, they don't walk straight, you know. We don't tell the cow, okay, be careful, there's some precious glasses right next to you, stay straight. The cow doesn't know from this, he'll make a little to the right, a little to the left, you know. An adult is a little careful. Teenagers are just like cows, they just barrel right through.
So these,
they don't care.
All these laws of damages apply to teenagers as well?
We're going to get to that. Autumn, any boy who's over bar mitzvah, we're going to get to that. It's coming up. That's the reason why we always teach Nezikin to young boys. The tractate Nezikin is taught to young boys because the first thing they need to learn is, if we're worried so much to pay for your cow's damages, then you have to know you're one of the damagers too. So you can't damage either. And there's halachas of that. So these are the toldos of trampling. It's not restricted to the feet that damage, because we already know that if it uses feet to kick, it's a toldo of what? No.
Shame.
I mean, Karen.
Karen, horns, remember? Because that's intention to damage. Here, it's because of the movement of the animal, that's the damage. Not restricted to the feet. Anything that's connected to the animal that damages because of its movement, that's what you're chai for. Yes?
So if it's standing and not moving, and it's there's a bug on it, it takes its tail to whip it off, and it takes out, you know, someone's utensils,
we have to think about that. It's not regel. It's not moving.
Right, but it has intention.
To what?
Tail has intention to knock the fly off of it.
Tail is moving.
Okay.
It wasn't moving, but it's, you know, obviously it had a fly on it, so it whips out its tail to knock off the fly, which they do, and it knocked down knocked over someone's glass, his statue or his sculpture.
Well, I don't know. To me,
that's also part of this.
Well, I don't know if that's... Well, that, you'd have to, you know, ask a child. What would you consider that to be? Is it the way of its movement, or is it intent to damage?
Right.
What do you mean intent to damage?
You have to find an ob that it fits under. So maybe we'll have to learn a few more ovos. Right. We will see before we're done.
We'll know
there's about over a dozen ovos. Okay. But the question is, so where does that one fit? All right. You know, maybe it's Karen, because it's unusual. It's not common. Karen is an uncommon damage. Sure, Karen. Goring is an uncommon damage. Now, I don't know. Is wagging its tail, is it common or not common? So, okay, if it's common, then okay, we got it. We got to know. We got to fit it in somewhere. Or maybe it's not chayiv. If it doesn't fit into anything, maybe it's not chayiv. So we'll have to see. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
You said there's more than
I don't know the answer to that. But here's you're going to use... When we learn a little more, now you'll use your Talmudic minds. I'm sure if we look in the Mefarshim, we'll see this case is brought up. And we'll try to figure out what it is. Now, once you have enough information, you could talk intelligently about this. And you could try to bring proofs one way or the other. And that's great. But I don't have an answer right now. Okay, Martin, what do you think?
I would say...
Wagging a tail.
Martin,
you have a better memory than me,
it's
maybe.
It's not regular, no, definitely not.
Wagging a tail is...
When it's not walking.
And yeah. It's full intentions of knocking that fly off.
Yeah. But not the wall or whatever else he hit. It's not intention to do that.
I would say it's more of... Shame.
Was it for its pleasure? Maybe it was for its pleasure.
Benefit. Yeah. Not pleasure, benefit. Oh, benefit. The fly is bothering.
That's what the benefit is, pleasure.
Yeah.
But it's
right. So how's it different than scratching the wall?
No, I think
that's right.
If it's torn, if it just kind of gets irritated at another person and just turns and bucks it, it's the same kind of thing. It's being bothered. And
right. So we've got already, we have a machlokas achronim here.
We've got two.
You know, which I'll be. Either way, you're going to be chayiv. Okay,
It work the other way, that the person should have secured his goods, that just a little flip of the tongue would...
Well, it could be he secured the goods very nicely, but the goods are wide. You know, you could have goods that are wider than the animal. You know, do you think everything you put on the animal fits directly along the spine of the animal? You know, mules, where it's hanging over the sides. Right, so it's all part of that. Okay, so now, the next point, three, is the question of information. So now that we know what the toldos are, so maybe when Rav Papa said, there are some toldos not like the Yovos, maybe it's referring to the toldos of Regel. To which the Gemara says, no, Maishna Regel, what will be the difference? Regel's trampling to Hazeku Matsui, that its damage is common. It's more usual than any of the three. If I'd ask you what's the more likely damage during an entire day for an animal to damage by goring, eating, or trampling? What's the most common damage? It's trampling because it walks more than it eats and more than it gores. It's the most common. It's a very common thing. And since it's common, you have to realize that's a problem. And it belongs to you. You have to watch it. That's what the av is. Sahane, so these number of items we listed, same thing. Nami hazekamatz, it's very common for the animal, while it's walking, to bump into things, or to have its saddlebag bump into something. Same way. Umamonchan, it's your property, shmiras alecha, and you're obliged to watch it. So therefore we conclude as well, Ella told the regal karegel, that the toldos of regal are like a regal. So now we're stuck. What are we gonna look for to find a toldos that are not like the av? Okay, so that's the end of Sugya 6. So again, we resolved that the toldos of regel are while it was walking, the animal damaged with its body, hair, saddlebag, bridle in its mouth, or neck, bell on its neck. And we've established that the toldos have the same law as the regel. So now we continue to look for more avos that will fit into that. Okay, let me just fix that up.
The prumbia is the bit, he said.
The prumbia is the bit. Yes. Okay, well, I'm going to fix this one.
Is there actually any type of damage that you're not responsible for?
We'll see. We'll see. All right, now we move on to sugya number 7. Sugya number 7. Sugya number 7 is going to deal with... Okay, so what have we done so far? Let's remember, we're trying to find a way for you to memorize this whole chapter. We're going to memorize this whole chapter, guys. I'm telling you. Okay? So, what do you memorize? What are the hooks? What are the hooks? We've had 6 sugyas. Now, you got to start by... No, one thing you got to memorize is the Mishnah. If you don't memorize the Mishnah, not word for word, but the ideas. The Mishnah said, there are 4 of us Nezikin. There are 4 fathers of Nezikin. And what was... How did we start? What were they called?
Shor. Maveh.
Bor.
Maveh.
And Heber.
And
Heber. Right? Fine. So, the Mishnah said, just analyze it. It's God made it that He wants us to memorize this. He didn't make it hard. We just have to give a way of learning it correctly the first time. Right? It says there are 4 avos, right? Avos. Fathers, right? 4 that are saying the Torah. Morris said, well, if there's avos, there must be toldos. Right? You only have to remember 4 words. 4 avos of damagers. Now use that as the guide to know the whole chapter. You have to know what does 4 mean? What does avos mean? What does damaging mean? So the 4, you have to memorize these 4. Sorry. Bor, shor, bor, maver. An ox, a pit, maver, we'll see what it is. Heber is fire. Avos, fathers, that means there's children. So now we'll have to logically figure what are the subcategories of each one of the avos. Of damagers. Okay, now I know that. Do the children have the same law as the parents? Rav Papa said some yes, some no. Good. So now what do we do? What have we did so far? We're going to go through every one of these 4, find the biblical source, then say, what are the toldos? And then see, are the toldos like the avos or not? That's what's going on. That's all that's been happening this whole parak. So what do? We started with shor. Well, now I'm going to sub this out. I need a bigger chart. You could chart this all out on one piece of paper, a big piece of paper, and Earl, of course, will figure out on the computer to do it really well for us. But you're going to see how you look at one sheet of paper, you'll have the whole parak. Maybe the sheet will be this big, but still, you have, you know, just like when they fight wars, you know, in World War II, you have the big battle map, right? Yeah. All these things was huge, but they knew how all the fronts all somehow fit together. So you have a battle. It's a Milchama Shel Torah, and you're trying to win this battle here. So we're drawing out the map. So he said, Shor really had three avos of its own. What were the three avos of its own? Karen. Good. See how much you're remembering? You guys are smarter than you think you are. Now, these three are uniquely different. They're common that they both are his property. They both can cause damage, but they're unique in each way because they have their own kind of damage. Karen is what is intentional, right? It intends to damage. Shame is what's so unique about shame? Eating?
Pleasure.
Regal is unique with what?
Common.
What?
Common.
Common. See, you gotta know this. Now, how many totals did Karen have?
Four.
What are they?
Nagifa.
Which is?
Body check.
Pushing.
What else? Come on.
Nashifa. Come on, biting, guys. Let's go.
Biting.
Come on, guys.
Ravitsa.
Squatting.
And the Ita.
Kicking.
Come on.
Okay, what was the subcarriers of shame? Just learned it today. On, just guys. Learned it today.
Rubbing up against the wall.
What is the toldos of shame?
Rubbing pleasure. Against the wall.
Besides Martin.
Beer.
Okay, rubbing against the wall. And?
Soiling on fruit.
Soiling fruit. Okay, what was the toldos of regel?
Come on, guys.
Damaging the course of its movement. Right?
The bit, the bell,
etc., etc.
Okay. Come on, guys.
See? So this is all inclusive under this. So now that we've done all this and we've shown these are the three avos that come from Shor, these are all the toldos that come from the three avos, and we say they all have the same law. All have the same law. There's three, so under Shor there's three, with three common denominators, intention, pleasure, common. So now what's the logical next thing the Gemara has to do? Okay, let's now move on to Bor.
You forgot that those three, those are three and more avos up there.
Oh, yes. So now we got to understand, what did the Mishnah do? And it said four, now it seems we have six. We'll have to talk about that. The Gemara will deal with that.
Six.
If one is three, four, five, six.
Oh, I see.
Shor is Karen Shane Regal.
Right?
See one of the rabbis, how smart they wrote just a few words in the Mishnah. Then you could all we're doing in the Gemara is just peeling the layers that evolve out of the Mishnah. Next time, you're going to look at this Mishnah. I just give you a Mishnah. I say, okay, you know the Mishnah? Tell me the next seven pages of the Gemara by analytically looking at what every word in that Mishnah was impregnated with meaning. All right? That's what learning Torah Shebaal Peh is. That's how you should be able to memorize Gemara, because it's logical. Okay? So now we're out to Bor. Now, in each one of these, what was the first question we asked when we analyzed? Karen, Shane, and Wright. What was the first question we asked in every sugya?
Are they told us?
No. Well, yes, but what was the first thing we had to deal with?
How do we derive?
Where's the source?
What?
Where's the source?
What was the source? Why do I need to know the source?
So you can find
us in the avos. Good. So now we finished this. We got the source. Now, if I had a bigger chart, I would go back. Okay, the source of Karen is what word? What was the key word? You're not going to remember that. Yigach, right? Yigach. Then we had to spend time figuring out how does Yigach mean goring? Right? Then we said by shame, we have the word what?
Ooh, it would be.
A beer. How do you prove that? Regel was Sheila. How do you prove that? If I had more room, I'd make a chart going up this way for these three words. With me? So now we're moving on to Bor. Now, before we look ahead, what would you think would be the first question Gemara would ask?
Where's the source in the Torah?
Where's the source in the Torah for Bor? You'd think that'd be the first question. So now look in the Gemara and let's see what is the first question of the Gemara here. Okay, so now we're on. Ella told the Regal, Vechi come a Rav Papa, and Rav Papa, what did he say his statement for? Atolot of the Bor. He's talking about Bor, a pit. Now look at the very next question.
What are the toldos?
Toldos de boar, mainihu. What are the toldos of boar? Hang on.
Yeah, what's going on?
Now, you should be jumping with a question. Every other one, we first question is, how do we know that it's an av? That was the question. We dealt with that first. First, I have to know, how do I know it's an av before I get onto a toldo? Wasn't that the flow of everything we did till then?
Yeah.
Gemara does not ask this question. Why is the Gemara not asking this question? You know, sometimes you have to learn more from what the Gemara doesn't say from what it does say.
It must be obvious.
Because
it must be obvious. Why?
Yeah.
If you'll open up a Chumash, the Chumash says clearly, if a person digs a boar, and everybody knows what the word boar means. I mean, anybody who knows any Hebrew, you know what the word boar means. It sort of says, ki yichre ish boar. A man digs a pit. Well, do you have to know what's the source? I'm not going to ask what the source is. It's right in the Chumash. It says it straight out. You can ask, well, why did it ask before? Because before, the word yigach, we didn't know what the word yigach meant. It's a strange word. So what does yigach mean? Well, I have to prove to you it means goring with a horn. Beer, shilach, what do those words mean? I don't know what those words mean. So we needed to prove what the words mean. When the Torah says, when a man digs a pit, do I need to explain what I mean when I say a man digs a pit? The Gemara has no question to ask. Nothing to ask. We can skip that question because it's right in the Torah. You hear? That's the unwritten question that's not there. So we just jump right into what are the toldos? Now the question is, what are the toldos? Now that's going to be a little bit difficult to understand. Okay? And we'll just start for a minute to just whet your appetite, and tomorrow is going to be the main sugya. Tomorrow we got to get through the boar. Okay? So the Gemara makes the suggestion. Told of the boar, mine, who's a question, what are the toldos of a pit? So Gemara gives a first answer, a suggestion, as it were. And then, maybe that doesn't make sense, etc., etc. Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what. Elema, maybe you want to say av. The av is asara. When you dig a pit, 10 tefachim deep. A tefach is this fist, is a tefach. Okay?
4 inches.
10 tefachim deep. About 40 inches deep. That will be the av. That'll be the av. And the tolda tisha. And the tolda is anything less than 10. 9 and below. 9 and below. So why are they picking 10 and 9? What's unique about 10 and 9?
Huge difference.
Because 10, the rabbis will see in a minute, the rabbi says 10 is deep enough for an animal to die.
Fall in and die.
That's deep enough to die. So when the Torah says he dug a pit, it's referring to a pit of 10 tvachim deep. And the Torah says, you dug a pit and an animal fell in and died. So it's talking about a pit that's 10 tvachim deep. You pay for the death. But 9, well, that's less than it. Doesn't have enough to kill it. Then you don't, if an animal falls in, even if it dies, you don't pay. The only thing you pay is for damages.
Right.
Breaking a leg, yeah. For 9 tefachim, it could break a leg. 9 all the way down to 1. It could break a leg, twist an ankle, break an arm, not an arm.
You said if it dies.
What? No. Okay. But the Torah mentions dying. Doesn't mention damage. All right. So tomorrow, what we're going to do is we're going to analyze the psukim and see where did the Gemara come up with this possibility. And is this going to be an answer that is going to remain? All right, but that's what we're going to deal with tomorrow. Okay, Shkaya. Okay, Martin, now I'm happy.